Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page, as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website. We continue our sermon series based on the Gospel of Matthew. Today, the reading is taken from Matthew 13, verses 31 to 33, and then 44 to 46. And Edward Hoskin, Methodist lay preacher, reflects on growth and joy.
The reading is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 to 33 and 44 to 46. In this reading, Jesus gives four separate illustrations of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants and grows into a tree where birds can come and find shelter in its branches. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast used by a woman making bread. Even though she used a large amount of flour, the yeast permeated every part of the dough. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure a man discovered in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field and get the treasure too. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. Again, the kingdom of heaven is when he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. So our theme for this morning is growth and joy. And obviously we've been thinking of growth and joy, particularly in that reading, reading from Matthew about the kingdom of joy in the sense of the kingdom of, growth and joy in the sense of the kingdom of heaven. And so we've heard there it's like a mustard seed, it's like yeast, it's like treasure, and it's like a merchant who finds a pearl. We'll come on to those gradually. Let's just go on. So the kingdom of heaven, the mustard seed is sort of debate as to quite what Jesus meant by that mustard seed. And some people say it's a black mustard, which is grown in the Middle East, which is sown in a field and they harvest it. But that doesn't quite fit in with our idea of a tree that grows with branches and trees sit in it. But that black mustard goes from a very tiny seed to something 2 or 3 meters high. I like to think that if Jesus was in this country, he'd say the kingdom of God is like an acorn, because we're more familiar with an acorn. And we're familiar with oak trees. And we've probably heard the expression, mighty oaks from little acorns grow. And so in our sense, of our European sense, I think acorn perhaps is an easier way of visualizing what Jesus was saying. Because we know the oak tree grows into the acorn grows into a massive oak tree, that lots of birds live in it. It supports all sorts of ecological systems. I don't know how to describe that particularly. But the point being, something very small can grow into something big, something quite mighty, something quite impressive. But does that tell us what the kingdom of God is? The same with the yeast. We know about yeast. If you need yeast to make your dough rise, and that a little bit of yeast spreads, as we heard in the reading, throughout all of the dough, and it has its effects on all of it. And once it's there, you can't take it out. And that's another important thing. Once you've got a bit of it, it's in the yeast, it's in the dough, and it's all there. And I think both of these tell us something about how to grow. The yeast needs the rest of the flour. It needs sugar in the flour to grow. For the acorn to grow, it needs the nutrients of the soil, it needs the moisture, it needs temperature, the right conditions. So both of these show us something about that these things don't, although they have potential, they don't grow just on their own. They need to be in the right environment. And so it is with our faith, that we need the right conditions However small our faith is, it has potential to grow. But it needs to be in the right conditions, with the right environment, with the right support of church, of Christian fellowship, of Bible study, of prayer, and in the right conditions. Our little tiny seed of faith, if that's how we see it, can grow into something bigger. Or if we think we've got quite a lot of faith, it can grow even bigger in the right conditions. So some of this message is about how our faith can grow, how the church can grow. And if we think back to when Jesus was teaching and preaching, the church, as we know it, non-existent, started very small, and then it's grown to where we are today. And then what about the treasure? Imagine finding treasure in a field. Imagine being out in a field, maybe out for a walk, or maybe if you're a farmer, you're ploughing or whatever, and you come across in the dirt some treasure. Think of the excitement. I can't help thinking, well, what's the legal situation here? You know, are we allowed to bury it and dig it up later? You know, do we have to claim it as treasure trove? Don't get hung up on that. That's just me as a sort of thinking too logically about it. But think of the joy, the excitement, and like finding wherever the pumpkin's gone, finding things in muckiness, in whatever, and finding something that we take joy out of. And that's coming across it by surprise. The merchant in the reading we had is a pearl merchant. He's someone who's out there looking for pearls. And he finds a special pearl. And he sells everything else to just get that one. And these are both about the joy of the kingdom of heaven. But does it tell us what the kingdom of heaven is? One of these is coming across the kingdom of heaven by surprise. And so we should all be perhaps open to surprise. Let's be, you know, expecting surprise about our learning and understanding of the kingdom of heaven. But the other one's about searching for it. Elsewhere, Jesus says, don't wait for the kingdom of heaven, but search for it diligently. Actually, aim to search for the kingdom of heaven. So these two examples here are particularly about the value that the kingdom of heaven has for us. It's like treasure. It's something precious. It's something we want to search for. It's something we want to get more of, to the extent that we're prepared to give up other things. In both these examples, the guy who bought the field sold everything to buy the field. The merchant sold all his other stuff to buy that pearl, giving up what they already had to get that real treasure. But what is the kingdom of heaven? I may not answer this question satisfactorily for you, but I'm posing the question in your minds to think, what is the kingdom of heaven? We live in a kingdom. Surely all aware of that with our new king, King Charles III. We live in a kingdom. We have a flag. We are the United Kingdom. We have a territory. But what does this tell us about our ideas of kingdom? Do we feel, as, dare I say, UK citizens, that we live in a kingdom? Do we give honour and glory and duty and things to King Charles III? I'm not going to get into an argument of who's parliamentarian and who's royalist or anything else like that, but you know, just question in your mind. How much do you feel you're part of the United Kingdom? In general principles, a kingdom is something that is united under a king, where there's some known territory, there's some known laws, there's no regulations, there's rules, so everyone is united. And in our own name of our country, United Kingdom. But are we united? And again, politically, we could go down all sorts of routes as to whether Scotland should be part of the United Kingdom. If Scotland is part of us, do we change our flag? Is it a separate... Oh, let's not go there. But do we feel part of the United Kingdom? And I'm only saying that in the sense of our understanding of the term kingdom. Kingdom really is about the realm of a king. And in the kingdom of heaven, it's the realm of God who has his rules, who has a care for his people, where we are united under a series of, if you like, principles of Christian morals, rules and identity. And I think it's identity is part of this. But what is the kingdom of heaven? Now, of course, in Matthew, he uses the term kingdom of heaven. Elsewhere in the Bible, it's more often said the kingdom of God. Some theologians would make a distinction that Matthew uses kingdom of heaven because Matthew's gospel was written mostly for the Jews. And in the Jewish culture, they didn't like to use any name for God. So rather than say the kingdom of God, he says kingdom of heaven. Whether that's actually exactly true or not, because Matthew also uses kingdom of God elsewhere. But most of the Bible uses kingdom of God. It has been said that the kingdom of God represents the earthly domain of Jesus, and the kingdom of heaven represents that spiritual domain. But again, when in Jesus' teaching, we all know the Lord's Prayer, where we say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in Jesus' own instruction of how we pray, we have to think that we want the earth to be like heaven, so we shouldn't make too much distinction, perhaps, between earth and heaven. So to my mind, kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven are much the same, as indeed is the kingdom of Christ, is another phrase we come across. And in some Christian traditions, they play much more emphasis on Christ the King. As we're approaching Christmas, perhaps it's a bit too far away to say this, but in Gabriel's message to Mary, he says, of his kingdom there'll be no end before he's even born, declaring that Jesus will have a kingdom with no end. And we think of Jesus as the King of Kings. But Jesus himself says, my kingdom is not of this world. And yet he also says, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. So how can it not be of this world, and yet it's also here? So again, in this question of what is the kingdom, maybe it comes down to your own interpretation, but it's again something to do with God's reign over our lives. And in considering God's reign over our lives, the joy we have in knowing that we are part of God's kingdom, that he accepts us as his children, as part of our citizens of his kingdom. So is this the kingdom of God? Well, obviously not. Is this the kingdom we desire? Well, unfortunately, many people in this world perhaps focus too much on things that are contrary to what we would think of as right. Is this the kingdom of heaven? These people wading knee-deep in floodwaters in a refugee camp in Bangladesh. And I use that picture particularly because Jesus said in Matthew 25, when I come into my kingdom, I'll separate the sheep from the goats. He'll separate those who've acknowledged him from those who haven't. For when I was hungry, sorry, it's gone off my screen down there. When I was hungry, yes, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me water. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. When I was sick, you cared for me in prison and visited me. We know that. But that acknowledges that Jesus is in these situations. That part of his kingdom, although we talk of the joy of the kingdom, can we really experience the full joy of the kingdom when other people are not? And yet, look at the joy here. The joy of this little boy receiving, again, it's a refugee camp, this time in Syria. The joy he has of receiving some sort of aid that's come to him. It doesn't matter what's in that box, but that joy in his face. So although we know there's much suffering in the world, we also know that we can bring joy to that suffering, joy into those situations. So when we have the joy of knowing that we belong to God, that we are part of his kingdom, we are citizens of the kingdom, we also have to think of our responsibilities of being citizens. And not looking at the world in despair, but looking at the world in terms of how much joy we can bring to those who are in despair. Some of you may know this hymn. The kingdom of joy is justice. Sorry, of God is justice and joy. Da, 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 da. Anyway, you may know that hymn, you may not, doesn't matter. But it's a hymn by Bryn Rees, a congregational minister. And every verse starts with two things. Kingdom of God is justice and joy. To have the joy of the kingdom, there needs to be some justice. The kingdom of God is mercy and grace. We depend upon God's mercy and his grace. The kingdom of God is challenge and choice. We are challenged to do something about the kingdom of God because we're citizens of God, of the kingdom of God. And we have a choice. We can ignore it. But the kingdom of God is come, he says in his final verse. The kingdom of God is come. It is here amongst us. It is a gift, but it's also a goal. It's not settled. It's not final. It might be here in part. But we have that goal for understanding more of the kingdom of God. In Jesus begun, in heaven made whole. At the back of the church, I've left a bowl of acorns. If you'd like to take an acorn when you leave, I suggest you hold it, you look at it, and think of the potential. Have it as a reminder of our potential. Our potential to change ourselves, to grow into something bigger than we are, to grow like yeast that has more influence around us, to see it as potential for change in others, that as citizens of God's kingdom, we can bring about change, as potential of joy, of the joy we can bring, but the joy we can experience. Joy we can experience by knowing we belong to God, that God loves us, accepts us, and unites us in our knowledge of him. And our potential to bring joy to others as our responsibility of being in his kingdom. So I say, there's a bowl at the back, acorns if you wish to take one, or you can find your own seed. If you've got a mustard seed, keep that in your pocket for a week. See if you can find it after a few days. And maybe this doesn't impact you the same way as me, but I love these sort of things from nature, and I often pick up conkers and put in my pocket. But just to think of the potential, that little thing, that great potential, we all have potential. You know, we could look at each other. I'm never quite sure about whether you want to look at your neighbor, but we look at each other or look at ourselves in a mirror and see ourselves as potential to have influence, but potential to really understand the joy of being in the kingdom and being an active citizen who brings about change. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.